Well, have you been able to get out fishing at all?
I went last week, Monday or Tuesday, I think, after the kids were done with school. On one of those nicer days, and I went to the Kinney actually, and hadn't been there in about. I don't
listening
know,
to the Brown Trout and Bridge Beers podcast.
There it is. Easy.
All right.
That's the fishing stuff. Yeah. Not much of it.
Well, hey, good talking to you, Aaron. We'll see you later.
Later, boys.
it's good hanging out with you.
Chop it up.
And then
we have a real live fishing guide on today.
I know. We don't have this very often.
What a treat.
Yeah, he's supposed to. The fishing guy is supposed to get on here any minute now. I don't know where
he is. I can't wait. I'm excited for him to show up. I was going to say, I'll hop off real quick then.
You got your notebook? I'm going to take notes. All right. Well, it's another podcast time. Is it considered a polar vortex right now? Is it that cold? I'm sure there's a weather event name for what's happening in Minnesota right now, but it is, I will call it balls ass cold outside. Oof. And what a better way to spend your time than listening to us blabber on about nothing, maybe a little winter trout fishing, maybe some tying stuff. I don't know, beer, if you guys have drank any good beer lately. And we have the one and only area man on the podcast.
Hey.
Golf clap.
Howdy. Area man.
So Aaron, thank you for joining us on this episode of Brown Trout and Bridge Beers. We got Mr. Matt Ebers with us as well this evening. And yeah, we'll figure we can try and charm your ears off as this is our second episode of 2021. Things have gotten a little better since the first episode, but the cold just makes that even worse. So yeah, Aaron.
Yeah, man.
Yourself, for the people that don't remember you from... We had you on, I think it was one of the Muskie tournament episodes.
We did. And that was an absolute, talking about blabbering.
Shit show.
That was an absolute shit show. That was, there was no topic. It was just people shouting stuff, which was fun.
I think I listened back to it and
I was like, oh my God, this is how we talk when we've had a few.
Well, that and I cut out, I think I remember cutting out like a 25 minute section of bidet discussion. So I saved our listeners for that, from that, but
that's good. We honestly talked about bidets for 25 minutes.
Oh, easily. Yep. There's that cat. That. So, Aaron has a magical cat that uses the outdoorsness as its restroom, which
really lucked out. I haven't cleaned a litter box in at least a month, probably longer. Of course it doesn't like 17 below bull crappery, but it runs out and, digs a hole in the snow, does its business, and then books it right back inside. Prefers it.
Fantastic. You know, if you're looking for a future career path, you might want to look into like cat training.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could take credit for that, but that cat trained itself to do that.
Maybe you could bring other cats over to your house and they just follow, by example that way.
I mean, we have one cat and I'm not sure that any other cats are really welcome. But I mean, it depends on what people are willing to pay, if they really want their cat to relieve themselves outdoors. If it will work, even, who knows?
It's worth a shot. But so you're an area man.
Area man, yeah. I Carf did that to me. Area man. So
did he ask permission first?
It just caught on. Maybe I did it to myself on, you know, Instagram when you have the bio thing. I put area man, just like what is that? The Onion does, you know, when they do an article on area man, they say area man. So I just put area man, whatever.
So for those that don't know, what is an area man?
It's a, I think it's just a local person that, that stays local, that did a thing, has an opinion about a thing or did something dumb. I don't know. Area man area man says that it's cold. I don't know.
Well, do you have an opinion on Tenkarfa?
I've never touched a Tenkarfa rod. So I can't have an opinion. But I'm not sure I'm going to touch one. So
it seems creepy to touch a Tenkarfa rod.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to go near it.
Yeah. No, if there was, I'd touch it if it was near. And it was offered in a polite way.
Would you touch Karfston, Karfa?
That'd be the first one I'd touch, yeah.
Would you ask permission?
Always.
Okay.
Always. I'm a gentleman.
Making sure. Well, we can always ask them and get that lined up for you guys, hopefully here in the springtime. Right, it's not so cool.
I mean, I can't be a judge without trying it. So,
so Airy Man, what do you do that makes you super fishy?
Oh man, I don't claim to be super fishy, man.
Well, tell us a little bit about Aaron.
If we're talking about fishing and you want to know my little backstory, I guess, I don't come from a family of anglers necessarily. I used to fish with my grandpa a long time ago. And only occasionally, but, growing up, I was never, taking fishing too often or, didn't grow up with a rod in my hand too much. So I started pretty late, maybe 12 years ago or so with a fly rod, and, it was all downhill from there, I guess. And, started working with Bob Mitchell's, I think 4 years ago or so. And I mean, that's when I started guiding with him. And, not much to the story, you know, I used to have a painting business, and which was nice because I could, tell clients or whoever that, you know, I gotta dip out because I need to do some more estimates today.
Get some more rollers.
Yeah, but I'd go fishing instead, and that started happening quite a bit. I mean, as you guys know, once you start fly fishing, it really kind of takes hold.
It takes over a little bit.
It really does, and so that's kind of what happened. And ended up being fortunate enough to start guiding with the Bob Mitchells and with Evan and Brett, which has been a blast. It's been a really good time. You know, first starting out, I didn't really think that it'd be fun to watch other people catch fish all day, but it turns out that it's actually pretty fun, you know, especially with some newer anglers that get to get takeout, which is kind of the majority of our clients really are really green. And a lot of first trouts on a fly rod happen.
Nice.
And it's super exciting. It's super fun because they're so pumped up about it, you know, so you can't help but feel that kind of vibe coming off them and get stoked for them. And,
what was your first guide trip?
How did that go? I was super nervous, crazy nervous. It was just this one guy. He was an older gentleman. I remember it clearly. I had, you know, brought a camera and everything. And, you know, I basically was like, I'm just going to pretend like I'm fishing, which I think was a good idea, you know, like just to set him up how I would set me up. And it took a little bit, but he caught some fish. And I remember, I was like, okay, like I'm definitely getting a picture of this for sure. So I pulled out this camera. I had this underwater camera. I don't know, some like Fuji, it's like yellow. You can stick underwater or whatever. The lens got wet. So when I was taking pictures of it, I didn't know at the time, but when I was taking pictures, I looked at them later, everything was blurred out. Just like water spots, all the little lens or whatever. I've taken them out a couple times since that too. So
nice.
Yeah, it was good. I just remember like being so nervous and like not knowing what to talk about. Maybe I shouldn't divulge this, but you know, it seems like 80% of being a guide is keeping people entertained and being chatty with them.
Does having two young girls at home help keep those conversations going?
I can talk about, I mean, if they want to talk about glitter or if they want to talk about
TikTok. You know,
yeah, sure. No, thank God they're not into that yet. But, yeah, just the chatting with people. And I mean, you get into this routine where it's almost a one trip kind of melds into the next trip because all the same kind of topics come up and you kind of talk about the same things. And then you got your go-to little jokes or whatever. And I can't really think of any off the top of my head, but when a certain situation comes up, you've got something to say about it. You know what I mean? And you always get, especially with new anglers, like you see that. I start them out nymphing all the time. Every time, because I want them to catch fish. And every time you see that bobber, you're like, oh, you make some weird noise or whatever. And they're like, oh, is that a fish? You're like, oh,
always.
Well, never know. I mean, we'll never know, I guess. But yes, 100%
that was a fish. 100% that was a fish. What's the number one rookie move that you see out of clients here in the Midwest?
Well, when I start brand new people out, I'm not having them do any kind of overhead casting stuff.
Is that for your safety or theirs?
A few things, my safety, their safety, knots, you know, untangling stuff. So what I have them do most of the time is, not even roll casts. You know, when the bobber drifts by, have them pick up the line and fling it back up. Just flip cast it, really. And it saves so much time. Like, the bobber's on the water way more time, length of time, than if you're overhead casting and stuff. And so the one thing that really can be slightly frustrating is when that client will just start trying it, just start going for it, casting overhead. And every time there's a knot, like, it blows up right on, like, they'll hit their own stick with the entire line or whatever. So many things can happen. So I guess that
probably just get sick of hearing the same joke that you told to them yesterday.
Like, I know, right?
Groundhog say, fuck this, I'm going to start casting. I'm going to shut this guy up.
I don't know. I watched this movie. There's this thing called shadow casting. I want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt can do it. I can do it.
Yeah. I bring two rods though for that reason.
I'll just switch them over as soon as they knot one up.
Hand it right over. And by the time I get the knot out or the tangle out of that one, it's time to untangle the next one. So it's just kind of a rotation.
Have you started using like tippet rings at all for guiding?
Man, I should do that so much more often, but I don't.
I just haven't used
so much. So much leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should.
What's the snack situation look like on a Shabilsky guide trip?
Snacks? Well, if it's a full day, I'm bringing a full lunch. And for anybody that's been on a guide trip before, usually it's a paper bag lunch, right? Where it's kind of a white bread with some bull crappery in it, whatever, you know.
You don't even put it in a bag? Just straight up?
No, it's in the water. Like, lunchtime, chuck it at them.
Just in their waiter pouch, it's waiting for them.
It's all smashed. Turns into like a wad of
couple pieces of split shot in there. They got to pull out.
They don't care. They floss their teeth with some 5X dip it in there. But it's basically that. But I go to Kowalski's most of the time and buy the sandwiches. But they're, you know, on bun, like pretzel buns or whatever. So they're good. They're good. And then pickles and chips and cookies and apples and things like that.
Sounds healthy.
Nothing super exciting, really. I mean, but, you know, most of the guide trips are in the summer and kind of the warmer months. So I don't know. I don't know if a hot lunch is something that I would really want, but
that's fair.
I suppose. I don't know. I like a good old deli sandwich, you know?
Hey, loose meat sandwiches make the world go round.
I agree. So,
some pretty good stuff. Matt, I think you've even said once that there's nothing better than loose meat sandwiches at a stream side, somewhere along those lines.
Right? Straight turkey.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, the sandwich, nothing beats a good sandwich.
I agree.
Except a proper hot dog, but.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like pre-night fishing.
Yeah. Where you're just eating hot dogs, waiting for the winos to drive by in their Corvettes.
I don't know. I don't want anything that's going to upset the tum-tum inside the waiters. So
it's true. Yeah.
You don't deli sandwich is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Have you had any near misses with clients and uh-oh situations in their waiters?
Possibly, but they didn't say. They never said anything. That's a tough one too. It's really tough. So I've taken out a lot of women as well. And for a full day for a gal on the river with a stranger, like, I am sorry. Like, I can't help you with the bathroom stuff. Like, I don't know where, I don't know what to do, what to tell you. I don't know where to point for you to go. You're kind of on your own, you know?
Yeah. That's a tough situation. Luckily, a lot of the stuff that we fish though is pretty wooded, that hopefully you can go out and hide out somewhere.
Yeah. And most of the time they don't go. They just hold it like camels or something. I don't know.
I was listening to, I think it was the Bent podcast, and they were interviewing a guide that had, she had a full day float trip. And this woman was on the full day float trip all day long, drinking coffee, sipping whiskey, water, never had to use the restroom.
What?
At the end of the trip, she hands the guide this like plastic bag after she came out of the port-a-john, said, "Can you toss this for me?" Said, "Okay." Guide looks at it. Just curiosity, like cleaning stuff out. And it was like, it depends. Like apparently this late 20s, like early 30s, like super successful businesswoman.
That's a good idea.
Just strapped on a pair of Depends and said, "Let's do this."
Like, Grant, we got to add that to our list of things for Montana.
It's not a terrible idea.
I think that's a fantastic idea. What I don't think is fantastic that you hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah,
to
deal with. I would have to take that on my own to get rid of, but yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I should just have some in the back of my truck. Just have some Depends. Like, you know, I don't know how you're
rolling today. Set them out there and just be like, you know, if whatever. And
yep.
Right. I'll just
slide them across the table.
Probably like clients depends.
That should be part of like onboarding form.
Yeah, not my own. So it doesn't. So it's not weird. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But like when they sign up for a guide trip, they have to say, "What size depends do I wear?"
Well, I think if any ladies are listening, how like.
Let us know.
Educate us on the bathroom. I mean, not like in super detail, yeah. But like, what do you need to feel comfortable so that Aaron.
Yeah, he's my stress bigger. About that.
You can bring one of those like pop-up shelters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just strap a Jiffy Porta, you know, like the big satellite toilet to your back.
That's a good idea.
I found one on the river after post flooding in July or June, July, whenever that happened. There's a porta potty just sitting on the side of the lower rush.
There's one by that boat that we found
really
about a month ago. Yep.
Yeah.
I saw the big black
four wheeler.
The big black pipe sticking. I was like, is that a basketball hoop or something? And then we got closer. I'm like, no, that's the exhaust pipe of Portadron, just like 40 feet up off the reeds. I don't know. Ashley's talked about these go girl things.
Yeah, like that comes
up,
to mind.
Stand up and go. Female that we used to snowboard with out west. She rolled with that in a Ziploc. You know, we'd be on the mountain. She'd stop, use that, go to the bathroom.
Oh, she kept it in a Ziploc. I was almost like, wait.
No.
To go
put the contraption in a Ziploc and then was able to use it. Right. So they have they're smart. Smarter than we are.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We don't really think twice about it.
No.
I know.
When I do go fishing with my wife, she will, and, you know, I'll dip out to water the
check their
weeds or whatever. So we're like, God damn, I'm so jealous. You just go do that wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was born, I was born this way. I do feel your pain. It really sucks when you can't go to the bathroom.
Yes.
But when we're out there, obviously like, I'll hold her hands and she'll lean back.
Very helpful. Whatever, but yeah, that's also
not a stranger, you're not going to do that. That's a little different.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That might be a little different guiding experience than most are probably used to. So, okay. Back to fishing.
Yes, sir.
So you typically start your clients off on nymphing. What's your go-to? Are you doing like a single rig or are you kind of like pulling that off of their level of experience?
Not really. I'll kind of just throw them into a two nymph rig and see how it goes. And if it's really, really not going well, which rarely, rarely happens, then I'll switch to one nymph. But for the most part, we're sticking with two nymphs all day long. And it's always kind of a, you know, a couple heavier bugs too. I mean, tungsten, not big bugs, but heavy tungsten beadheads, and so they can get down in the water. But, yeah, I'll start them off with
two nymphs. Go home, right?
Right. Why not?
If you had like a set of two nymphs to fish our area, like Western Wisconsin for the rest of your life, what would those be?
I would go with, what I think is an underappreciated fly, which is a scud. I take one of those and, gosh, it's really a toss up between a kind of a zebra midge or kind of a Frenchie, like a jig head Frenchie. I'd probably go with the jiggy Frenchie. So a scud and a Frenchie, I think. Just so like that Frenchie can do it all. And, scuds are always around. So, if things aren't working out with when I'm fishing, I'm always like, oh gosh, yeah, I got scuds. And they can really, really save
the day. I got scuds. I got scuds.
That's a new sticker. Got scuds.
I got scuds. That's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fantastic.
I have scuds.
It's either a disease, like, so what, are you okay?
Scud free.
You got scuds?
Oh, scud free since 93.
Well, what about you? I can ask you guys, what would you go with? Two nymphs?
I'd have to have a pheasant tail, would be one of them. And then,
so good.
Probably some kind of caddis. I'd roll.
I think I'd have to go hare's ear.
With some pink around the collar?
I want to, but no, I would go straight. I would go straight hare's ear. And probably a zebra midge.
Yeah.
Because that just works really well in the wintertime too. Like
big time.
Which is fantastic. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with a pink squirrel here or there.
No, nothing wrong
with a pink squirrel.
Pink squirrel stays good. Oh, speaking of that, let's talk about that real quick. Hey guys, we have a select few number of I Fish the Pink Squirrel stickers left. Help us. Help. Captuish. Try to limit it. So the cool part is if you buy a sticker, you're entered into a drawing. You get some of Ebb's Force pink squirrel-like nymphs. You get a fishing afternoon with Ebb's Force 1 and I, along with some streamside pink squirrel cocktails or mocktails, depending on age. And yeah, it'll be fun. So tell your buddies, buy a sticker. Help us.
You can buy more than one sticker too.
You can buy the rest of them if you want. You know,
yeah. When we sell out, we're going to do the drawing.
Right. And we only have, let me see. I think we're at only 20 stickers left.
All right. So we need two people to buy 10 stickers.
Yep. So high quality, pretty stickers like that. Bumper style stickers that say, I fish the pink squirrel with a tasty looking pink squirrel cocktail on it. But yeah, all proceeds are going to Captuish. The only money we're taking out is what we actually had to pay for the stickers. The rest of it goes straight to those guys. So we've made our money back. Cool. We have some to give them already, but help us hit the finish line. And once they're gone, they're gone. No more. You can have this limited run of I Fish the Pink Squirrel stickers. All right, that's enough.
Our next sticker
and philanthropist. Very nice.
The next sticker will be I Have Scuds.
Yes. Yep.
Do you know the ingredients to the pink squirrel drink?
Yes. Ebbs does.
Have you had one?
Yeah, I got all the stuff at the house to make them.
He's been doing like trial batches.
Yeah.
They're
good?
Yeah, they're tasty.
What's in it?
Creme de cacao.
Cacao.
And I can't ever pronounce it. It's like creme de noir. That's what gives it the red color. And you can either make it with like cream or ice cream. And I make them with ice cream. And then you blend it all up and then you put a little whipped cream and a cherry on top and it's pink squirrel. They're good.
Wow, that's a super dessert drink.
Right up there with a grasshopper.
Oh, it's so good. And I think it was actually invented in like Milwaukee. I think there's an actual bar in Milwaukee that invented the drink. So Cody Kennard can verify that one for me, but I'm pretty sure him and I are chatting and he said that it was like the bar down the street from his house in Milwaukee invented the pink squirrel cocktail.
That's so cool. So is the pink squirrel drink, which came first, the fly or the drink?
Oh, the drink. The drink's way old.
Did it?
Yep.
Prohibition.
No kidding.
Yeah, old supper club days, Wisconsin. That's why I grew up in supper clubs in Wisconsin. And like your parents would always beg the bartenders to make their bratty kids like these non-alcoholic grasshoppers and pink squirrels.
But a cocktail.
In reality, they had booze in them. Yeah, parents just didn't let us drink the entire thing. Stickers, buy them. You can go fishing with us. And it's for a good cause. Because if you like to fish Western Wisconsin, guess what? These guys do good things for you.
And they do. They're amazing.
Yeah, they do some really cool projects. Good group of individuals. They
can butt on Plum Creek. Yeah. They've been doing some real nice work on that, which is fantastic.
Yep.
Lately.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
They still have crews going out, clearing, brush and stuff like that on a lot of their projects. Because I know I tuned into the Eddie Rivard presentation that they put on like last month or the month before, and they had mentioned they're still trying to, they've got so many volunteers coming that they have to break their work groups up. They have like, I think like max 10 or something like that. So they've got a really good base of volunteers. I'm sure that they would love for you to sign up if you're not already a member and volunteer with them. Shoot me an email and buy a sticker.
Yeah.
Look all the goodie that you're doing.
The Bryant's Cocktail Lounge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin claims to have invented the pink squirrel.
That's fantastic.
So are those bottles, the cream de cacao and the cream de noir, those some easy to find items?
The cacao was, the noir, I looked all over and I only found it at one liquor store around me anyways, but Top 10 had it.
Ooh, Top 10 is a good one.
Yeah.
Are they charging for it?
What's expensive?
I don't know, $20.
Yeah, it's $20.
Yeah,
and the cacao one is like $10. That's like super cheap. So
that's not bad.
You'll make enough to get pretty plastered.
Nothing like getting really plastered on ultra sugary drinks. Yeah.
Yeah, and who knows? We might I'll just chip in and get an Uber home from the river if need be. I hope we can do it in like, you know, March or April, where it's not super warm, but it's chilled enough to where the drinks aren't going to melt real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to figure out. Well, I told you, Matt, we should just find an old weed whacker and make ourselves a gas powered blender.
Oh, come on.
Yep. Full portability. And then that could just live in the boat for its life.
We could bolt it to the side of the, the boat. It could have like a grill off one side.
Blender off the other.
Blender off the other.
Yep. Ah, Cinco de Mayo, margaritas and tacos.
Yeah. Daiquiris. Hell yeah.
We do fish tacos.
So we'll take that, the front of your boat, and we'll make that like the bar.
Yes.
You know, we'll get like bottle holders and get you out there with your flare, cocktail slinging. And yeah, I like it.
Get a Hams neon sign up there somehow, right in the front.
Yes.
The front of the lean. The lean thing, what do they call that?
The leg braces.
Yeah, there you go.
Casting braces, yeah. If you will. That's a really good idea. You know, the amount of what we used to call a motorcycle circus lights that people can run in some of these drift boats now, I'm surprised they don't have more accessories built in like that, like blenders and toaster ovens. Or just like a hot, what are those hot pads or what are they?
A pizza pizzazz.
Yeah, exactly. Have that in your drift boat.
Oh my God. I had a pizzazz once. They're so fantastic.
Okay. I have a pizzazz.
I can't believe I forgot about those because it was amazing.
Fleet Farm still sells them.
Did the walk by sneeze on factor ever creep anybody out?
No.
Really? I'm the only one?
The walk by what?
We always had them in college and I was like, dude, what if somebody like walks by and sneezes on your pizza?
So what? It gets cooked. That thing's like 1,000 degrees.
I don't know. That always creeped me out.
Dry all the germs away.
That was like, oh, but it made awesome chicken fingers. Like all that frozen stuff was fantastic.
So pizzazz, you're going to need a bigger boat. We need a boat to tow.
Tag along boat.
Yeah.
We just need like a barge that we put all the cooking and coolers.
A dinghy.
You need a drone boat.
Yep. That's a good idea. We can put like a couple cots, hammocks on there. It's total, you know, Mark Twain it up and down the river, or Huckleberry Finn. That's what his name was. Mm-hmm. Riverboat style. Anyways, I digress. I think. Yep. All right.
To Aaron's scuds.
Scuds. I have scuds.
Gray scuds.
Gray scuds. That's your color of choice.
I do like the gray scuds. Maybe a little orange in there too. Gray and orange.
A hot spot.
Yeah.
Do you tie your own scuds or?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
What's what are you using? What? Tell us more. What's your cocktail?
Well, you know they've got that scud dubbing and stuff, but I've been using. Lately,
is that made from like actual scuds?
Scud dubbing? Yeah, so you catch a whole bunch of scuds.
Yeah.
And then you bring them home, rip their legs off.
Okay.
And then use those as the legs on your fly.
How do you go about extracting that many legs? Is it, are you using tweezers? Oh,
one little pinch, you got them all.
Okay.
Rip. Yeah.
Got it.
No problem. No, I use, I've been using ostrich roll.
Oh.
For them.
Nice. Because they need
one bajillion legs. And not really weighted too much because it's kind of my, top fly usually. I don't know. Are we on like camera?
Too, we are right on camera. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I get real motivated, sometimes I'll pull a clip.
Oh, well, this isn't clip worthy.
Aaron is showing us one of his scuds.
You can't really see that. That's ridiculous. You can't see anything.
Maybe I'll have you take a photo of it. You can send it to me.
Yeah, you can't see crap.
So unweighted scuds.
Right. Well, maybe a little bit of weight. Maybe some, a few wraps of, you know, point, what is it, 0.15 lead-free wire.
Smart man.
Yeah. So on your nymph rigs for your clients, do you run a split shot to help them get down?
I do occasionally, yeah. I don't start them out that way. No. That's just another chink in the armor, really. But if things are going well and we're in an area that definitely needs it, then yeah, I will. Yeah. But you know, two tungsten beadhead nymphs can get down pretty quick. In most areas around, you know, western Wisconsin, the deepest they're really fishing is, you know, 4 feet or so.
Do you feel like your breakoff percentage is any higher when you're using like double tungsten versus split shot rigs?
I haven't noticed.
Not really. Anytime I've ever done it, I always feel like I'm getting down too much and I'm constantly getting snagged in things. Yeah. But that always comes down to me just not setting my bobber where it should be. But
that could be. Also, that's not the worst thing.
Right. At least you know you're getting down there. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you go through so many flies and
what's your typical loss percentage of flies for your guide trips?
I mean, there are times when I have to go home with a guide trip the next day and tie a dozen of the flies that were working the day before and come home with none of them sometimes. And sometimes they'll have the same fly on for hours and hours.
Just kind of depends.
Luck too, where they're casting their flies, and some days you just got that bad luck where you're snagging up on every single thing that you can possibly imagine.
So what's your one liner to your client when he's hit rock bottom? Like, he or she has been at the bottom and they're drowning and they're not getting back up.
Yeah, you probably know it, but you caught Wisconsin.
That's pretty good.
I like it.
Pretty solid. Right? I mean, they always like it. I've said it 1,000 times.
Hook set.
I was going to say a million, but that's dumb. It was 1,000 times for me.
So with
got Wisconsin, or if they catch trees, you're always like, they're the hungriest things on the river. Just stupid stuff. Just maybe one little chuckle is all it takes for me to reuse a joke.
I just hope that like in your truck you've got this notepad of all of your one-liners that you keep track of.
Okay. And
you just
maybe add, I'll start like doing
new
that.
Ones in there.
I'll start doing that.
Just a Rolodex.
For you, I'll start doing that.
Yep. Yeah. And then if people want to book guide trips with Area Man, how does one go about doing that?
Yes. Well, things have changed a little bit this year. You can still search BobMitchellsFlyShop.com, and that will link you to an email and a phone number, but you're not actually talking to the fly shop anymore. So anyway, Evan kind of took over the duties of booking and scheduling of all the guide trips. So these emails and phone calls or texts, if you need to, are going to start going to Evan Briggs, who has been a guide for over 10 years or so and a fantastic guy. So he kind of took over those duties. We also have a bunch of new guides too, which is exciting.
Nice.
And we've got David Holmes, who is a musky wizard.
Yes.
And that might even be putting it lightly. He's a machine. He's got golden horseshoes stuck everywhere.
Yes. Him and Chris.
We've got Mel Bowman now, who is the reigning Grand Slam champion. She's fantastic. Super good angler and isn't not just for trout either. I mean, she's a Grand Slam champ, which I don't know if people know about that competition, but you try to catch as many types of fish as possible. So she's pretty good at, any kind of fish you're thinking about. She probably knows where to get it.
Sweet.
We've got Ashley White. He's kind of just getting, he's been fly fishing for about 4 years, but really, really picked it up quickly. Super social, like the nicest guy you'll meet. And this other dude, I don't know, Karf, I guess is his name. I don't know what his real name is. I don't know if you guys know him or not, but he's possibly, I don't know, he's going to guide, I guess, or whatever. And then Brett and Evan as well, and me. So you got some...
Wow, that's quite the crew.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a crew.
It's a squad. It is. And the goal is to keep everybody busy, which would be great. I mean, as you guys know, the opportunities around here are huge, trout, musky, pike, smallies, carp, some urban stuff with, carp or panfish.
Brown bass,
yeah. Catfish even, lots of opportunities. So hopefully things can stay busy.
Yeah. I think hopefully I feel like the industry got this flux of fishing individuals last year. And I don't see it slowing down.
No.
Based on everybody I talked to in the outdoors industry, people are still having a hard time finding anything. So I think people are still buying, still getting the itch and still wanting to go out. And you're right. I mean, there's so many fishing opportunities and you guys can help facilitate that for a lot of people.
That's the goal, we've got guided trips for all of that. And then also, specifically kind of in the, well, I wouldn't say specific, but we've got a trip called a beginner's trip, which is if you've got zero knowledge, of fly fishing, but you just want to go do it, maybe an hour or so of it will be kind of teaching and learning about the gear and learning about techniques and, you know, how you go about going fishing. And then hopefully by the end, you're catching fish and things like that. So I think that's more accessible to people that maybe are a little bit intimidated just getting into the sport, thinking that, you know, I've got to get a guided trip, I better know what I'm doing kind of thing. So, you know, we don't want that to be a turnoff to anybody. Like, if you've ever had a thought about trying to fly fish, there's no reason to feel silly about it. You know, you just got to go do it.
Yeah, if Grant can do it, everybody can do it.
This is true. I am a terrible fly fisherman, so it doesn't take much. I got scuds. That's all I got.
I hope you do.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I didn't realize you guys had that large of a crew of guides for this year, so that's awesome.
Yeah, things have changed a little bit, so it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I think we should book a guide trip with Aaron and maybe one with Karf, too.
Yeah.
I heard Karf's got a new fly that he's, you know, trying to pawn off that could eventually, if it doesn't catch a fish, we could throw on the grill and eat later too. So
yeah, that fly did look delicious.
It did. Although the quality of hot dog he was using, I was questioning a little bit. But you know,
what do you think it was? Ballpark?
Probably
Nathan's.
I doubt he would have went Nathan's.
No,
I don't know. He was whatever he could find at Kowalski's, I'm sure.
Yeah. It looked like a bologna dog.
It did. It didn't look like anything I really wanted to put on my grill, but
no high quality wieners in that one.
I know. But yeah.
That was pretty brilliant. That was
pretty good.
I really
pre-game changer.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, that's good. So what's that? There's an actual name for the guide crew, right? Was it Fishing for Everyone?
Yeah. I don't know exactly, to be honest, but I think that's it.
What I'll do, I think I've got the link to it. There's like full Facebook page and everything. I'll put that in the show notes for people. So if you're looking for guide trips, even if you're from out of the area and you're coming to visit family or friends or anything in Minneapolis, you want to get out for a half day or full day, get a hold of you guys. You could fish, like you said, anything from carp to bass to muskie to trout. And really, you could do it all in the same day. I'm not saying with the same guide, but there's those opportunities.
Probably could
if you planned it correctly.
And you'll get
you kind of want guaranteed fish, though. Let's go and catch some sunnies, man.
Yeah. Pandemonium.
It's so fun.
What were you saying, Matt?
Oh, I was going to say, and you get a guaranteed gas station sandwich and a pickle.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up white bread, bologna, and like some soggy cheese.
Kraft singles. Oh. Mayonnaise.
No, I can't even. I can't even entertain the idea of
those eating those triangle packages, right? With the
The vending machine ones,
even where they're crusty, like crunchy, even.
What? Yeah, one size all dried out, crusty. Yeah. The other one's like wet, mushy.
Yeah,
you know, in the same.
I mean, that means they've been sitting there for
just
a very long.
Sog, time. Just huh. Yeah. No.
That's what Funyuns are invented for. You have one of those bad sandwiches. You just wash it down with some Funyuns, and you're good to go.
That works.
I don't know. Black cheese and a thing of summer sausage is really, that'll go a long ways. Yeah, you can even skip the bread. All right.
The crackers.
Crackers are also good. This is also a plus.
No, it's not you guys that.
Oh, we're crackers?
No, sorry.
Oh, so we've gotten there. No. Well, good. I'm glad you guys
there's
are
other things, though,
together.
That we've got at the, through the shop and everything, which are the Flyfish College.
Oh yes, I'm a graduate of the Flyfish College.
Yeah, nice. So is your wife.
Yes.
So is my wife. There's about 10 or so of those a year. They're a 3-day course. Two of those days, the first 2 days are in the shop. You know, in the past they were in the shop. You know, maybe there'll be some Zoom situations going on with that, but it's a class where you learn, you know, A to Z about, if you know nothing about fly fishing, this is, you know, like this is the fly rod, this is fly line, all the way, you know, to the end of the class where you're actually out casting and actually on some water, and you tie your own fly on and hopefully you catch a fish by the end of the course. And they're so fun. Everybody that wants to take these classes seems to really want to take the classes and are invested in it and asking questions and having a lot of fun and, you know, goofing around with each other. And, you know, with fly fishing, there's always some, you know, razzing each other and things like that. So, and that happens with, you know, complete strangers come together for a 3-day course, and by the end they might be calling each other, let's go fishing, let's figure some things out. It's pretty awesome. And then we've got camps as well, which are some overnight things, usually two nights overnight, and that's a little more maybe a little slightly more advanced, where you should know a little bit about fly fishing, but you don't have to, because you are starting from day one, you're going out and you're hitting the water, and, you know, there's some guides there that will, you know, guide you in the right direction with things, but, there's a lot of fishing going on with those. So, super fun. By the end, everybody's just like best friends, and just like fly fishing. When you go fishing with somebody, by the end, you're like, oh man, do it again. We're buds now.
Where are the camps located at this year?
I gotta look. Trout camps. There's a couple of trout camps. I know there's one at the old barn resort, like by the on the Root River.
Okay, that's a nice place.
Which is awesome. They did one last year too. There, I've done them in the past. Last year, unfortunately I didn't get to do any, which was a real bummer because they're so much fun. Yeah, it looks like old barn on the Root River. A lot of the equipment's included, and meals are included.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you get a weekend of fishing, you get to hang out with some new people, you get some guys to kind of hang out and give you pointers. You
get
and
place to stay, you get food, pointers, basically some guided stuff.
Bring for
$250, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's cheap. The grand scheme of things, that's pretty cheap weekend for being able to have resources like that, like guides and stuff like that, be able to go out fishing, give you some pointers.
It's a good time too.
And hopefully the craziness of the world slows down a little bit too and makes that not safer, but I don't know, eases everybody's anxieties a little bit for doing those types of trips. So there's trout camps. I think you guys do bass camps too, don't you?
There's a bass camp too, yeah. Okay. It's not I know that last year, Brett and Evan, you know, they each have their drift boats, and they think we're on the St. Croix.
Okay.
And I'm really hoping more people sign up for it this year. I think there was four last year for the one trip that happened, which is, you know, legit for two drift boats, right? Yep. But you're floating down the St. Croix and stopping, you know, after an 8-hour float, and then you're pitching a tent, camping, and you got your bonfire, and food is provided, and all that good stuff. You do it again the next day at night, and
nice.
Then head out. Yeah,
hey, that's a pretty cool experience to be able to stay riverside and then just hop back in the boat the next day and go.
So fun, yeah. And it's always those dudes that are fishing for smallies that end up with some massive muskie accidentally.
plenty of those stories, too.
And definitely pike all over the place.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and the St. Croix's always got opportunities for those big football smallmouth too to come at you. And if you have a good topwater day on the St. Croix, your arm can get pretty tired from catching fish by the end of it.
Tired in a good way, yeah.
Yeah, not from casting, but from actually catching fish.
Right.
So you got trout camps. Is there any other events you guys got going on in the fly shop coming up?
Not really events, you know. Unfortunately, it's at safety first, you know, so events aren't really thing so much, but you know, we try to do some virtual stuff, you know, some tying competitions, or you know, the shop will put out some materials for Hoppers at Home, which is the substitute for Hops and Hoppers, which used to be at Lake Monster Brewery, which was a fantastic gathering of
that was a good event,
like-minded people, and yeah, it was always fun. So yeah, not a ton of that, unfortunately.
Okay,
but obviously it'll pick back up again at some point.
Good. Yeah. Well, hopefully it can. And hopefully that means we can all get out fishing again sometime in the near future. Because it's been a very long time since I know the three of us got to fish together. So
really has.
Hopefully things can clear up here and we can get out. Because after this polar vortex or whatever the weathermen want to call it, I think we're all going to be itching to get outside again.
Everyone will be itching. And the trouble, they'll be hungry for scuds.
I got
Aaron's itching because he's got scuds.
I got scuds.
I cannot wait to design that sticker. That's going to be fun.
I'm excited for it.
We used to, back when we did more of these, I always had a question I'd ask everybody: if there's a fish caught or uncaught that you will remember till the day you die. Do you have one of those fish, Aaron?
I do have one of those, and it's nothing. It's nothing extraordinary, really. It was one of the early years of my fly fishing career, maybe like year two or something, where I was just getting comfortable casting a dry fly, really. it was just like, I was on the rush, lower rush, and I remember exactly where. There was just this pod of fish rising, right? And I was like, okay, here's my shot. Like, I got to figure this stuff out. I've seen this on videos before. I'm new to this. I'm going for it. What made it cool too was that there was this ray of light shining on where the fish were, so you could see them from down the bottom and then coming up to eat, which was cool. I probably drifted a dry fly over the top of them for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Finally got one. It was maybe an 8-inch brown trout. But I was like, oh my God. Like, I did it. Like, I put my time in for this trout and I did it. I don't know. I was alone. Made me feel proud. One of those things. Silly things that I'm going to just remember. You know, it's not like the biggest fish, the craziest story or whatever, but like, I was just so locked in with it, you know, that it made it matter to me.
You were one with the Tunkara.
Yeah, it was. I borrowed Karf's Tunkarfa.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a silly one, but I've been asked that question before, and it's always that. Like, it's the first thing that snaps into my mind.
Well, that's kind of fun. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be the biggest, craziest fish, but something that's a little bit more memorable.
Yeah, if I hadn't even caught a fish there, I'd still remember what it looked like for those trout, because I could see them on the bottom to rise up to the top. I could see them the entire way. I mean, it's one of those crystal clear water days where it saw everything, which was enough for me, you know.
Be able to see them like that through the water. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you have any questions for us?
Let me get my sheets up. No. I'm pretty pumped that you guys are doing this pink squirrel drink thing now. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Buy a sticker.
Buy a sticker.
Yep. I'll buy a sticker. I'll have a pink squirrel drink with you guys at some point anyway. So
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we should just do like a ice cream drink.
Social
or something like that. Everybody brings stuff for like an ice cream drink, and we just do it like Riverside.
I like it.
Oh, I'll ask this question after I wrap this up. I think there's another cat. I can see the reflection of a cat in your.
At my house?
Yeah, your house.
Oh, dang. It's probably in the window. It's
yeah.
Dude.
Is that your cat?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, I hope so.
thanks for hopping on the podcast with us. And
thanks,
my pleasure. Thank you guys. Yeah.
If you guys I will put in the show notes Aaron's Instagram and the guy group and things of that nature.
If you want to go huck some scuds.
If you want to huck some scuds, just wear protection though. Because
that's kind of a good sticker too, hucking scuds.
bring your own Depends.
or if you're gonna fish with Aaron, just let him know what size you need. He'll pick you some up.
I mean, for real, in the summertime, hot days, if you just had Depends on, they could be, they're a fly patch too.
now you're talking.
You hook your flies right to the outside of those Depends.
Now you're talking. But yeah, thanks for hopping on, everybody listening.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. Buy some pink squirrel stickers.
Buy them up.
20 left. Come fishing with Matt and I and drink some ice cream drinks. Streamside. Yeah. And get some sweet Ebbs Force flies, because guess what? They catch fish squirrel style.
Yeah. I think there's like 18 of them. So you get like a dozen and a half.
Oh jeez.
Dude, so many.
The sticker's basically free.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
You can't pass.
You're making money on that deal.
You can't pass. I'm sure they'll come in a really nice Ziploc bag too. So
high quality.
One of the best you know, fly organization tools that you could.
That's ever all use. I have. That's all I have.
All right. Oh, thanks. Oh boy.
Sorry. I got a text.
There's that cat in the window.
There's a cat in the window behind you, dude.
Yeah, it's probably freezing its little buns out. I let it out to take a leak, and now it's probably freezing.
That explains it. It's probably
like
angry.
An hour ago. It's probably dead now.